Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defont Leroy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 169 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Mr. Klinsman.
How are you today, Bill?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's raining, mm-hmm. but other than that, it's okay. You know, you were gone for a week, and you missed my summer. It was my chance to brag for a little bit, and you were
I
gone.
Saw your posts.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was 3 days in a row above 90, and then the weekend was like in the mid-70s both days. And then this morning, it was like 48.
Yeah.
And people were already complaining. 3 days, it's been miserable all spring. We got a couple days in the high 80s, low 90s, and people are like, oh, it's too hot. I was like, are you people, what's wrong with you people? I was like, it's beautiful, it's been awful all spring. And now we get a couple nice days, and you just, like,
especially when it's
looking for...
When you come out of winter, and you get, like, that toasty day where the sun just feels good.
That's what it was. It was so nice. And people were like, it's too hot. I was like, oh, I don't know what to tell you. I was like, I wouldn't want it every day. I like some of those mid-70s. I know you like the 90s every day, but...
Yeah, correct.
But, you know, it felt so nice after being so cold and miserable all spring.
Yeah.
To get some nice days.
I just looked at some of the roofs at Target Field last weekend, and they were all bundled up. I'm like, you can't catch a break.
No.
We're going into late May now, and they're wearing, like, winter hats to Target Field.
Yeah, they had their little stretch of nice weather, and that's gone for them, too.
Yeah, they had the same thing, yep.
It looks like it's going to be okay this week. I mean, I think we finally turned that corner. They might have a couple more cool mornings, but overall, I think the weather's turning around. But like you said, it's late May. By the time this episode comes out, it's Memorial Day weekend. We should be into some summer weather here and there.
I was talking to this guy today. He was from Pittsburgh, and I mm-hmm. said, are you here full-time? He's like, no. He goes, about 8 months a year. So when the hell are you leaving? And his partners were laughing because he knew where I was going. You know, get the hell out of here, go back up north.
Yeah, exactly.
He said now, he said he's been living here for 7 years. He said, first year he went up to Pittsburgh in April. He said, and they got snow all the way through May. He said, so the following year he went up in May. He said, and then they had crappy weather, you know, off and on, cold and warm, cold and warm. And then he said, I'm going to go up June 1st. Said, and then he'd get up there June 1st. He said, and it would be nice, but it would rain for the first 2 weeks. He said, so now we're just going up mid-June. Like, so you go up mid-June and turn around and come back in, like, late September. And he's like, yeah. He goes, trust me. He goes, if it were up to me, I'd live here full-time. I said, you got to do a little selling job with the wife. He's like, yeah, don't we all? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I didn't have to do much convincing, but no, I know what you're talking about.
It probably was a harder convince to get Susie out to Minnesota than it was to get her down to Florida.
Oh, yeah. No, didn't take much, because at that time she was young, and just, you know, when you're like 25, like, you just kind of want to check something different out anyways, because you're always expecting that you're going to turn around and come home maybe in a year or two, kind of like going off to college. But the Aruda family 2014 vacation was what, I didn't have to do any convincing, it was that trip.
Yeah.
And we said, nah, we're coming here.
And you made it happen quick.
Very quickly.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround. I thank the podcast, mostly.
You think that had a lot to do with it?
Well, it paid most of the expenses, the moving expenses and all that.
I didn't lift a damn finger.
Right, that's what I mean. That helps certainly, doesn't it?
I mean, I kind of felt bad, you know. I'm double-fisted with my Bud Lights and I'm yelling at these guys. You know, whoa, easy, easy with the China. You know, I kind of feel like a prick, but we paid good money.
Well, you made them wear a tuxedo and wear white gloves for the whole thing. That was kind of ridiculous.
Well, you got to be careful moving my George Brett and Cal Ripken baseball card collection.
That's true. I get the itemized bill from the moving company, and there's tuxedo rental, white glove service. I'm like, what's going on down here? But you know what? I didn't bring it up because you got to do what you got to do.
Hey, I lived in a luxurious townhome in Chaska, Minnesota. I can't be seen with just regular movers, if you know
what
I mean.
That's true. That's true. Very true. It's a beautiful thing. But there was something I was going to say. I'm in a bit of a crisis here, Bill.
Oh, let me see if I can help you out. What's up?
You definitely could help me out because it's May 22nd.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but there has not been a cooking class for the month of May yet. I'm going
to
be out of town this weekend, but I think I can get it done before then. I just got to know what to do. I need some guidance here. Is there anything in particular, any recipes that you're looking at?
How about if we do, you want to try something easy? You want to do that Charisse skillet from Las Ventanas? Nice little breakfast?
Breakfast might work. I could try that. The dirty skillet with the chorizo and everything?
Yeah.
I just gotta be able to find a recipe somewhere online, but I'm sure I could do that. I'll look into that. Maybe a little breakfast thing. I didn't think of that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, why don't you do something? Because why don't you do something easy that you can make for your wife and kids? Like even if you could do the crab omelet. That's probably pretty simple.
Yeah, just get some pre-picked crab meat or whatever. That's a good idea. The crab omelet from Captain's Grill.
I mean, you knew when you brought up you've got a food issue that we were gonna resolve this within 13 seconds.
Well, those are good answers. I want to try to find an authentic recipe, because I'm not just going to throw some crab meat into some egg and be like, well, this must be what they do, because they probably have some fancy things that they add to it.
You know what would be the ultimate cop-out?
Doing, the kitchen sink?
Doing a Mickey waffle.
Oh, yeah, a Mickey waffle, that would be...
You can just get, the maker for, $30. I mean, it would be worth it if you had to do it on June 30th.
That's true. I could do, one of the ice cream things from Beaches and Cream.
Yeah.
Ice cream sundae. Oh, I made it. It's got peanut butter on it. Yeah, I make fun of it, but that's a good possibility of what I might do. This month I have the No Way Jose from Beaches and Cream.
No Way Jose.
I didn't mention that Yergina Jr. is joining us in the studio.
She's very quiet right now. Very quiet. Yeah. Is she working on your audiovisual right now? Is she in the room with her headset on?
Yeah, she's got the headphones on. She's fast asleep on my shoulder right now. We'll see how long that lasts. If you hear someone yelling, it's probably her. But she's being good right now. She had her bottle, and now she's asleep. So that's good. She adds a lot. I mean, she brings class to the studio.
Absolutely.
What else is new with you, Bill?
I've been hitting some golf shots lately.
Oh, yeah? On the range?
Yeah, I've been... Because we're slow now, so, we got to wait for, the last couple goofballs to come in. Because they got to get their 1995 worth of golfing.
Right, until the sun's, an hour past when it went down.
You know the type, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
So me and my partner will head over to the range and hit some shots. So it just takes hitting every day. Now I feel comfortable over the ball. You know the first time you go to the range, how it's just foreign?
Right.
And you're chunking it, and you're thinning it, and it's all over the place. Well, now, mm-hmm. So then we went over to 9, right toward the end. We're still waiting for two guys to come in. So I'm going to 9. My partner, who's 17 years old, is in the cart smoking a cigarette watching me hit approach shots. So I go out with a sand wedge and drop maybe 5 or 6 balls. And I was hitting, in between 65, 70-yard shots, the three-quarter sand wedges.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sticking it, man. I was sticking them. So I'm ready to get out there and start playing.
Oh, so you're one of those guys that the maintenance crew does not like that.
No, because you come out to cut and it's 15 range balls on the 9th green.
Well, not even that. That's the worst thing. But then there's a lineup of 9 divots across the middle of the fairway.
Oh, no. See, I replace my divots and I fix my ball marks.
Yeah, but replacing the divots, they're still there. It looks bad when you get 9 of them in a row. Even though you step it down, it doesn't matter. I'm going to call you out on that.
That's okay.
You got to at least move it around. Do one from the left rough, one from the middle of the fairway.
Oh, I wasn't doing them right back, right next to each other.
Oh, all right.
I'd move them around by 4 or 5 yards. I wasn't hitting them like a driving range where you just hit 15 straight divots.
Well, people do that on the golf course, and then there's a lineup of 9 divots right across from 110 yards out on the 9th hole. And you're like, what the heck's going on here? I thought that's what you were doing.
No. I'm respectful to the golf course.
All right. Well, that's okay. As long as you fix the ball marks, then we're good. Any gator sightings lately?
Trying to think. Just the one near my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, he comes out quite a bit. He was on the bank, right near where we walk Fenway.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do they get, more or less active when it gets warmer?
I think maybe a little more active. Yeah. Because they come out, when it's warmer, they come out a lot and sun themselves.
Sun, that makes sense, yeah.
But they're more active at night than they are during the day. That's when they hunt, so.
Oh, well, that makes sense as well.
Yep.
Good. Very educational.
Thank you, Bill. I'm here for that.
Yeah, no problem. We have a lot to cover this week. There's a lot of questions I want to ask you, but I know it's part of the meat of the episode, so I don't want to jump the gun here.
Okay.
I also do not have an unofficial beer sponsor this week because of my...
Because you put it in your daughter's bottle. Shame on you.
Yeah, well, that's why she's passed out on my
shoulder.
Maybe
she can do it. It was an Irish cream stout, 10.5% alcohol by volume. She's just toasted right now.
She drank the whole thing, passed out. She's a lightweight. Yeah, I don't have anything, so we can head right to break if you like, sir.
Yeah, well, let's go to break, Bill.
All right.
Of the terrifying moments for 129 passengers flying from Tampa to Nashville. The Southwest Airlines flight made an emergency landing in Atlanta after trouble in one of the engines. ABC Action News anchor Paul Legrone is here with the exclusive interview from one of those passengers.
Yeah, Paul. Just some pulse-pounding moments this morning. Let's retrace the steps of this flight. Flight 1694 took off from Tampa International Airport around 7:40 this morning, heading to Nashville. Everything going fine until right around here when it makes a hard right turn and has to make an emergency landing in Atlanta. A fast and furious descent from 30,000 feet in the air to make that emergency landing. And tonight, we're getting an exclusive account from a well-known local passenger who says the flight attendant made a revealing comment about this plane right before takeoff. Pictures posted from Southwest Flight 1694 right after it made a hard emergency landing in Atlanta.
Something I hope I never have to go through again.
Sitting on board, 99.5 WQYK radio host Cadillac Jack, who says halfway through the flight, everyone started smelling smoke and water started leaking from the air vents.
And the captain came out and said, we're smelling smoke. We have big electrical problems, so we're going to Atlanta.
What happened next was a steep dive to safety, a six-minute drop from 30,000 feet.
We must have went, I mean, he brought that plane down so fast. It was, man, everybody's ears were popping, so it was pretty crazy.
The passenger also tells me he overheard the flight attendant say that the plane was going to go to the boneyard next month, which gave him a bad feeling before they even got off the ground.
When I asked the flight attendant how old the plane was, he says, well, this is a 300. It's going to the boneyard in Phoenix in a couple of weeks. I was like, man, maybe I should get off this plane. Sure enough, halfway through the flight, everybody smelled smoke.
That can't make you feel good when a flight attendant says things going to the boneyard.
You know what, Dad? Really, I almost told Dad, he had just shut the door. I almost said, open the door.
Tonight, Cadillac Jack is just happy to be alive and plans on treating himself in Nashville.
Happy to be safe, man. I'm in Nashville. I'm going to go get the biggest pastrami on rye I can find.
You deserve it, my friend. Yeah, after the morning he had, he's probably going to have a couple of beers, too. Well, all 129 passengers happy to report they are okay, no injuries. I did ask Southwest Airlines, though, about the flight attendant's alleged comment. I asked several questions. Was this plane too old to fly? Was there a problem with the aircraft? Why would a flight attendant say that? Was this just Southwest Airlines' sense of humor? They are known to be sarcastic. The spokesperson, though, would only tell me they had no additional details to share.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 169 of the Poor for War podcast. Dr. Hurley back in studio, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly.
Oh, I'd like to say before we get into anything, thanks again to Sue Willing from the last couple of weeks, giving us two nice weeks of content on this podcast.
And I got to say, I got a text from Devorney. He said she's got to be a regular on the show. He said that she fit in perfectly. Now, I don't know if that's an insult to her or if she's going to take it as a compliment.
That's a good point. That is pretty insulting. Yeah, right. You fit in with those two morons really well.
Exactly. No, he said that she was really good and that we got to have her come on like on a regular basis.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime. She did a good job. It was fun.
It was very fun.
Plus, we were talking filth, so what's wrong with that?
It was beautiful. They ate at some good places, didn't they?
They did. That was a good mix, too. They didn't do like all fancy or all cheapo, but they had like a nice mix of everything.
Combination of, yeah. Single credit, like, just, yeah, good places.
Yeah, because they did the Tiffins, which I was very excited to hear about, but then they also had a couple quick service things. They did the Disney Springs stuff, so. A lot of new things, too. I like that they tried new things.
You like new things?
That's what you like to do. Anytime you go, you want to try a new place.
Exactly.
I mean, as much as you can love, like, Chef de France, and I do love it, sometimes you want to try something different when you're in Epcot, because there's so many good choices, so that's... That's something I have to definitely commend them on.
Chefs de France.
It's a great spot. I like that place.
Oh, it's fantastic.
All right, Bill. Well, let's get to the brass tacks here.
Okay.
You had a nice trip out to Nebraska, the heartland of America.
Exactly.
And so you were going out for a buddy's wedding, correct?
That's correct, sir.
And you kind of made it a long weekend, did some touristy things, but... Why don't you start at the beginning? You're going to give a little trip report of your
we're going to do a Lincoln, Nebraska trip. Lincoln, Nebraska trip report.
That's beautiful. And I know that if you follow us on Facebook, you got a glimpse into some of these shenanigans. But, Mike, why don't you just kind of start, and I'll interject with any questions I might have, but just keep on going here.
So I had a 710 flight from Tampa to Nashville, Tennessee, and I was flying all over the place. I was going from Nashville to St. Louis and then out to Omaha. So I set my alarm for 4:30. I was going to get up, shave, do all that stuff, take my shower, take my time to get to the airport. And we're about 35 to 40 minutes from Tampa International. So you know the days that you travel, how you kind of wake up a few times at night?
Yeah.
Well, right before I went to bed, I remember setting the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up at 5:35.
Oh, boy.
And I thought, okay, well, maybe like we had one of those power outages, and it's not really 5:35, but it was like 5 hours after the power outage happened.
Right.
One of those deals. So I look at my smartphone, and it's 5:35. So I'm like, we're like an hour late. I'm like, I don't know what happened. So I said, but I still got to take a shower. I said, because I didn't shower like yesterday, and I worked, and I'm just stinky. And I said, so I still got to shower. If I miss my flight, then we'll have to rebook. So I take my shower. And we're out the door. It's like 10 minutes to 6. Now, I got a 7:10 flight.
And you're a half hour from the airport.
At least 40 minutes easy from the airport.
With no traffic.
With no traffic, which it wasn't going to be at that time. So I'm in an absolute panic. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I mean, like, what I figured out was when I set my alarm,
mm-hmm.
I didn't click the okay.
Oh, boy. You didn't hit the save, huh?
No, I didn't do that. Because it even said, like, you know, 5 hours and 45 minutes, like it does whenever you set the alarm. It tells you, like, when it's going to go off and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
that's so depressing.
It's just one of those freakish things. So
the worst part about that, like, when you set, sometimes, like, on Friday when I get home from work, I'll set it for Monday. And mm-hmm. It's like, you have one day, 23 hours and 8 minutes. I was like, oh, that's such a short time till I have to wake up again and go to work.
I know.
But anyway, sorry. Keep going.
So I tell her, I said, do me a favor. I said, I'm going to drive. And can you just call Southwest and tell them what the situation is and they can rebook me? So she's on the phone with Southwest and we're going over. I mean, we're going over the Sunshine Skyway, which doesn't mean anything to you, but that's the bridge that goes into St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at about 20, 25 minutes. It's 20 past 6. I'm like, you know what? If there's no security line, if there's nothing, I might be able to make it. So they said that there's no change fee and that there was no difference in the flight price. So they'd be able to get me out like 3 hours after I got there. But the thing was that I had to cancel my flight within 10 minutes before it left. So I'm like, all right, do we do it now or do I just wait as we get closer to the airport?
Right.
And I was doing the math. I said, okay, now we're at the point where I'm going to get to the airport in time. It's just I might not be able to make it. So if it's 6:45 and there's a line in security, I can just cancel my flight and then relax.
Right.
So I go through the check-in line. I end up getting one of those late check-in bag tags. Have you ever gotten one of those?
No.
Yeah, so it just says like late check-in, so it must, you know, they must have to try to hustle and have your bag be the last one on.
It's like a scarlet letter.
It's black, actually.
It's like, here's this jerk showing up 5 minutes before his flight.
Yep.
With checked baggage, no less.
With checked baggage. So, luckily, so I go upstairs, I take the escalator, and now you got to take the tram. It's like Orlando. Mm-hmm. So now you got to take a tram out to the terminal.
Oh, boy.
No. So security's out that way.
Oh, so you've never flown out of this airport?
No, I've never flown out of Tampa, no.
Oh, so you had no clue.
I had no clue what this airport was like. Luckily, it was relatively small. Compared to Orlando. Orlando's miserable to get into.
Right.
So I get out, and I get through security. I'm standing in security. I'm like, okay, it's probably, you know, 6-7 minutes before I get through security. And I'm looking, and it's about 5 minutes to 7. So I'm like, I think I'm actually in good shape. Flight leaves at 7:10. So I finally got through security. It was about 7:04, 7:05. So as I'm walking...
Did they call your name over the loudspeaker?
They were calling my name. Passenger Michael P. Hurley. And like I'm waving, I'm like kind of doing the wave, and she gave me the thumbs up. She's like, all right, you're good. So I was finally, I was able to board, and I was the last one on. And you know when you board on Southwest, there's like, you know, you're standing, you know, there's 100 people in front of you as you're getting on.
Right.
This wasn't the case. They were all standing there. I mean, they were ready to go.
They were sitting. They had their laptops out already.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to, like, go... Was it a full flight?
Yeah, it was pretty full.
So then you had to like kind of figure out which middle seat you were going to take.
Actually, I got an aisle. I sat. I was all the way in the end, and yeah. There was a mother and daughter, and I just sat next to them. Actually, I was going to sit in the middle.
Yeah.
And so the stewardess said, "Excuse me, sir, would you like an aisle seat?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I didn't even see it." And I turned around, and it was like a. I'm like, no, this is perfect. So I had an aisle seat, and as I'm taking my seat, I'm thinking, you know, like how they have those shows about like the guy who missed his flight,
yeah,
and the plane crashes,
right?
You've seen those shows, haven't you?
Yeah, it's like on like 60 Minutes or something. Yeah,
yeah, like Steve Melnick was like late to get to the airport, and he ended up missing his flight, and then the bird ends up going down,
right?
And that's exactly what was going through my mind.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you weren't supposed to get on that flight.
Maybe I wasn't. I don't know. So we're flying up to Nashville, and all of a sudden he does the double ding, you know, the ding ding,
yeah.
And he starts taking a right bank. So I'm like, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, we're about 50 minutes early. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So he tells the flight attendants to pick up everything like whatever people's drinking, pick up everything and. Like, clear the aisles and take your seats.
Oh, boy. That's not something you want to hear over the loudspeaker.
That's definitely not something that you want to hear on the loudspeaker.
Well, it's actually something you don't expect to hear. Like, I wouldn't even know what to think of it at that point.
Right. Like, usually, like, when you're hitting turbulence, a lot of times, like, he'll tell them to make one final pass and to sit down because we're expecting some turbulence. But he does that, and we're all kind of, like, looking at each other and stuff. So they end up taking their seats, and, you know, I had to, like, guzzle my hot coffee. And then you hear the pilots come on, and they're in oxygen masks.
Oh boy.
And I've never heard that before. You know, like how they do the from the flight deck. So yeah. You just hear the, and they're like, "Yeah, we've been notified that there's a heavy odor of smoke, and we're having some electrical issues. So we're going to divert to Atlanta, and we're 15 minutes away." So now we're all just kind of like looking at each other, looking at each other as if. Making that awkward kind of smirky face.
Right.
You know, like when you sit in your 10th grade chemistry class and you find out that the person next to you is going to be your lab partner for the next 8 months. And you kind of give them like the little nod and the smirk.
Yeah, exactly. It's so, like, that was more of the nod like, "Huh, I wonder if this is going to be the last person I'll ever see."
That's what I was thinking. So like I'm talking to the lady and next to me and I said, "Are you a little concerned?" And she's like, nah, this is no big deal." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess not." So he's coming down hard, like, because the pressure's changing, and I was getting so much pain, like, in my ears, and I never have that issue, and I mean, the back of my neck started hurting, my head felt like it was just going to explode. So then he comes on, he's just like, not in a panicky voice, but he's like, "All right, everybody, keep swallowing, I'm like, "Oh my God," you know, you never hear the pilots talking to you.
No,
on a plane. And then he starts going over like all these FAA rules and this and that. And I'm like, "Oh my God." I said, "What the heck's going on?" So the pressure was changing too because it got really, really, really hot.
Oh, really?
And then it got really cold, like where you needed a blanket.
Hmm.
And so that was
kind of... Did you press the stewardess call button?
No.
"Excuse me, I need a blanket."
No, I was just trying to be cool because I didn't want to be like the... You know, everybody was pretty cool, but you didn't want like the first person to start freaking out.
Yeah. You didn't want to be Cadillac Jack.
No, I don't want to be Cadillac Jack. So anyway, so we end up landing, and everything was fine. It was a good landing. But then we're looking out, and we see like all these fire trucks like racing toward us.
Oh, jeez.
And the lady goes, "Are they for us?" I said, "Yeah, I think so." And they just started coming toward us. So I thought that they were going to open doors and have us jump out. You know, like those
inflated things.
Yeah, the big slides. So the pilot ended up saying, "We're okay. We're going to be able to go taxi to the jetway. You can get off there, and then they're going to have people there to reschedule you for future flights." So, to be honest, if they didn't say anything was going on, I might not have known. Just the way we descended, though, was kind of freaky because we went down in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have noticed the descent being a lot more steep than usual.
Yeah, because they come on, they tell you like we're 100 miles from the airport. And you do the math, well, these things do 450 miles an hour. We should land, like, in 5 minutes, but it takes, like, a good 35, 40 minutes before you finally touch down.
Now, did they, like, nothing, the oxygen mask didn't drop?
No, none of that happened. No, there was no issues.
So they were able to keep the cabin oxygenized or whatever.
Yeah.
That's good. Sounds like the pilots did a good job, at least.
Oh, they're really good.
So that's good. Did everyone clap nerdily?
Yeah, everybody did the clap. So we get out, and now the line... So the line's not that bad, but they just updated their software. So it just took forever to get rebooked. So they had a new Nashville flight, and I'm like, well, I probably shouldn't be flying to Nashville. They're probably going to rebook me. So I finally get up there, and she's like, what's your last name? So I told her, and she's like, Dallas is actually rebooking you right now. It's going to take about 2 minutes. So I'm like, all right. So then she's like, okay. She's like, we're going to send you up to Baltimore. I'm like, I got to go to Baltimore? And she's like, yeah. And then I had to go to Chicago.
Oh, jeez.
And then I had to go to Omaha. So when you have an event like this, the last thing you want to do is take three more flights.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, take off and land three more times.
How did your head feel like after you got down? Did it clear right up?
Yeah, it did. It actually cleared right up, but it's almost like there's... Because it happened again when I was coming into Chicago. So it's almost like there's some residual. There's a residual, yeah, because my stuff never pops. And when I was coming into Chicago, it was the same thing. It wasn't quite as extreme, but it was hurting just a little bit.
No, that's how it works for me. Like, when my ears hurt on my flight down, it's still, like, sore a little bit. Even on the flight back, I don't know.
Oh, you're saying like describe. The week after?
Yeah, it stays sore for a while for me.
No, because I was just, they were a little sore like for all of my flights, but like once I got into Nebraska, I was fine, and coming home the following week, I was fine. But we had to sit on the flight from Chicago because it was continuing services to Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
So they just said, you know, for those of you continuing to Omaha, just stay on so we can do a head count, and then you can go to the bathroom and stuff. So I was talking to one of the stewardess, he was a younger kid, like in his 20s, and we were talking and stuff. He said, so are you coming home, or what's going on? So I told him the story, and he's like, oh, he goes, that's not good. He goes, was that an older plane? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, these guys are really good. I said, has that ever happened to you? He's like, nah, to be quite honest, nah. He goes, that kind of sounds like it was a little messed up.
Well, you made it, though, at least. That's
I made it. I made it. And come to find out, they said that there was like an engine failure or something.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
It's good to know. You know what, though? They can fly those things with one engine.
That's true.
And they can also land it with zero, so.
That's very true. They just have to find a place to land it
with
the zero. Now, what you said you had to rip into Cadillac Jack, so I want to hear about this.
Well, he does this story about, like, he was the last one on, and they were closing the doors. I'm like, that actually isn't true, because I was the last one on.
Right.
Because I was even joking when I was taking my seat. I said, yeah, I'm that guy. And one of the girls, like, across the aisle was like, yeah. She's like, I wasn't the last one on the plane for once. I said, yeah, that would be me. And everybody just started laughing. But he said that he was talking to the airline stewardess, and she was talking about how this was an old plane that was going to the Boneyard in Phoenix in a week. And he was talking about how he was the last one on the flight, and he was there when they were closing the doors, but I know for a fact that I was the last one.
So you're saying Cadillac Jack was not being totally honest?
I think there might not be some truth to some of his statements.
You know what? I have a funny feeling that Cadillac Jack's not even his real name.
It's not, because I saw him on Facebook. I don't know what ever gave you the impression that his name really wasn't Cadillac Melnick.
Yeah, right. Oh, so I have to interject, because this is I won't remember unless I say it now. I told you the other day I've been listening to that Crime Town podcast about Providence.
Yeah.
And, like, Buddy Cianci and all the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one part where they were talking about when Buddy first got elected to mayor of Providence, he had to, like, make a deal with the Democrats. And the head of the Democratic Party in Providence, the guy's name was Larry McGarry. I thought that was a very funny name.
Larry McGarry?
Yeah.
It's not as good as Gary McGarry, but it's
pretty
damn close.
No, Gary McGarry is a little better, but I thought you would enjoy that.
Larry McGarry, that's fantastic.
That's a good name. You got to listen to that thing, Bill. It's riveting. It's absolutely, you won't stop. It's like 18 episodes, and you'll want to listen to them all in one day.
All right, why don't you give the name of it, why we have our listeners.
I just said it, Crime Town.
Oh.
That's what it's called, Crime Town Podcast.
You know what show I actually have, because I had the Weather Channel on last night?
What's that?
Why Planes Crashed.
Oh, jeez.
What's wrong with me?
That is not good. You don't want to be watching that.
Aviation just fascinates me. Yeah, I love aviation.
I think I would have thought about renting a car from Atlanta after that landing and driving back to Tampa.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that, saying maybe this is like an indication that I shouldn't be going, but I'm like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to, you know, go in the red. And I honestly was not afraid to get on that next flight.
Well, see, it wouldn't be like, I don't want to be that person. I would have been afraid to get on the next flight, and especially, my head would have been so pressurized that I don't know if I would have been able to go on another flight.
Yeah.
You know, if it descended that quick, I would have been in so much pain, I don't think I would have been able to take off, like, physically. Not so much even if I was scared, but I don't know, Bill. Glad you made it safe and sound, and you're here to tell the tale, at least.
Yeah, it's good to be here. It was nice getting on the ground, to be honest.
I'm sure it was. That's a long day of travel, too.
Well, I went from Tampa to Atlanta to Baltimore to Chicago to Omaha.
That's quite a roundabout way to get to Nebraska. Yeah,
exactly.
How long would it have taken you to drive there? 20 hours?
Yeah, because probably short. Yeah, it might be similar to Minneapolis, because it's not as far north, but it's a lot further west.
Right. Yeah, so probably. Let's say it takes 24 hours. You were in airports for what, 14, 12. 16 hours?
No, 12. Yeah, because I got there at about 6:45, and I landed in Omaha at about 6:15, which would have been 7:15 East Coast. So.
Oh, okay. Not too bad, then. I mean, it's still a long day of travel, but. No direct flights, I gather.
No, that's the problem. I mean, going up to Minneapolis is easy, but Omaha is just, you got to go through Midwest airports.
Right, exactly, because that's a smaller airport, I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was tiny. I mean, when we were coming in, I was, you know, they had to throw the landing gear down, and I'm looking out, and I just see farms.
Oh, jeez.
And then I see the runway, and then I look to the right, and I see downtown Omaha, which is probably bigger than Providence.
Yeah.
You know, decent size. Maybe in between Providence and Hartford. Kind of on the scale of Hartford.
So, sorry, I had the young lady, Ergina Jr., taken out of the studio. I was going to say, we're a half hour in here, so we might need to speed up this trip report. Let's get to some of the highlights of your time in Nebraska and the Midwest.
Okay, we don't really need to talk about a wedding, right?
Unless something really great happened there. Besides the marriage itself, of course.
No, it was good reuniting, because this is my adopted family.
Yeah.
I spent a couple Christmases and my last Thanksgiving in Minnesota with them. So, his mom and dad, he's like one of my best friends in the entire world, and his parents are just the sweetest people there is.
So, I made a point to be able to see the family and everything.
Yeah, I made a point to have dinner with them. We were going, I got all these gift certificates from one of my customers who was the owner of this restaurant, Redstone, up in Minneapolis. So I had like hundreds of gift cards. And so we all took them out to dinner and stuff. And, you know, it was funny. My first year, I was getting a text from my buddy. He's like, my parents want to know if you're coming up for Christmas this year. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming up for Christmas ever up there. I said, if I do come up, it's going to be like for 4th of July or something.
Yeah, right.
But his old man's just one of those goofy guys. Like, he picked me up at the airport because Nate had rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
For the wedding. So his dad picks me up, so we're driving back, and I'm like, oh, Mr. Hankey, thank you for picking me up. He's like, no, Mike. He goes, thank you for being delayed. He said, I got out of that nonsense. And I'm like, nobody likes the rehearsals, even the people who were in the wedding. It's such a damn waste of time.
The only good part about the rehearsal is having the dinner and the drinks afterwards.
Yeah. So he's looking at his watch. He goes, I don't even think we have to go. He said, by the time we get down to Lincoln, Nebraska, this thing's going to be over. I'm like, beautiful. He goes, yeah, so let's just head back to Nate's house and maybe crack a few open. I'm like, you're my kind of guy. So his mom picked up like a bunch of pizzas and we just had beers and ate pizza until like 2 in the morning.
Nice. Telling old war stories, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's good.
So then we had the wedding, which was a typical wedding. Right. The place was nice. It was called Wilderness something. And it was on a golf course, and it totally reminded me of Wilderness Lodge. Like, the entrance had that Wilderness Lodge, and when I went inside, it kind of had that feeling, just a little bit. It wasn't a hotel, but right. It was a golf shop with a bunch of, you know, restaurant downstairs, and then areas for weddings and gatherings. So that night, my friend ended up getting a hotel room with his wife, and he just wanted to spend a little bit with her. So when we went back, his father, he said, yeah, when we get back, he said, you want to stay up and drink? I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. Guy's like 70 years old, right? So he double fists beer, and then he starts breaking into the scotch.
Uh-oh.
So he's drinking scotch. So we're up until about 2 in the morning hanging out, just he and I. And we're doing our typical questions that me and my buddy will just random text at 11 o'clock and just say, okay, top 5 college football venues that you want to visit.
Oh, nice.
So I asked him, I said, all right, Mr. Hankey, I said, me and Nate go back and forth all the time. I said, what are your top 5 college football venues that you'd like to visit. He's like, oh, that's a good one. So we're kind of going back and forth.
And he probably had all, like, the, you know, Michigan and Ohio State.
He worked his entire life for the VA, so he moved around quite a bit. And he actually lived in Lincoln, Nebraska for a number of years, and my friend Nate went to high school there, and that's where he met this girl that he ended up marrying in high school. But they lived in Alabama for a number of years, so my friend Nate's a big Alabama fan.
Oh.
They lived in Washington, D.C., but he did mention one that's on my list, but it's not on my friend Nate's list, and that's UCLA, because I'd like to go to the Rose Bowl.
Interesting. Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Now, where would your top five be as we're moving right along?
Moving right along. College venues. You know, one of the ones that's kind of is a not in most people's radar is UW, Washington Huskies.
Oh, really? I drove by that stadium when we were in Seattle.
I'd love to go to that. I heard that's a great venue. I would like to see one of the big ones from the Big Ten, whether it's Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State. One of those.
Yeah, my friend went to the Big House. He said it's highly overrated.
Okay. I'm sure. I mean, it's 100,000 people. You're not going to have the best views. So one of those, definitely a couple SECs. I would have to say Alabama just for the history of it. They have to be on there. I would like to do the Oklahoma-Texas rivalry game.
You know what's funny?
Because Texas State Fairgrounds, but that's not really technically either one, right? That's in, where do they play? I forget where that is. That's not San Antonio, no.
Well, Texas plays in Austin.
No, I know, but where they play the Red River Shootout, it's at the Fairgrounds, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they play it like right outside the Fairgrounds at a stadium there. I forget, but Gainesville would be on there, I think, because I've always been a closet Gator fan.
Yeah.
And then one last one, I don't know. Boise State to see the blue field? I'm not sure.
I haven't really
thought about it, though. See, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's a tough one, though, because when you think of it, there's so many places. Like, I'm an SEC guy. I'd love to go to Alabama.
Right.
Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's a good one.
I've already been to Florida. Nebraska.
Nebraska would be good.
Oklahoma, and then probably UCLA. For some reason, I've always wanted to go to an OU game.
Hmm. Yeah, it would be cool to be at Tennessee when they sing Rocky Top.
Yeah.
All right, back to your trip.
Yeah, so Sunday, Mr. Hanke and his daughter drove back up to the Twin Cities because she had to work on Monday night or Monday afternoon. So I said goodbye to them. And then it was me, Mrs. Hanke, and the two boys hanging out. He's got a fourth grader.
Okay.
And then his wife has a sixth grader.
Mrs. Hanke as in his new wife, not his mother?
No, Mrs. Hanke as in his mother.
Oh, okay.
They're still doing like their, not their mini honeymoon, but they're like getaway for one day.
Oh, I see.
So me and the boys just hung out. We played catch. We were weasels too because it's so beautiful. Nate's son, we were like playing catch with this thing. And like like a typical weasel, he'd like throw it over the kid's head and like into the thorn bushes and stuff. And then turn around and laugh. And then we were trying to get the thing stuck like on telephone wise. I'm like, Kristen was so right at Shula's. I'm 11 going on 75. Like I was joining in with the nonsense. Like instead of being the adult... Yeah. Like the kid, come on, guys, knock it off, knock it off. And then, like, it would be my turn to throw it, and throw it over his head.
Throw it in the bushes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I love boys. They're fantastic. Like, we never change, do we?
No, that's true.
Like, you're fourth grade, or you're, like, 44 years old, you're still just being a jerk. Like, when your father would throw those Call You Skrimsky home runs over my head.
He would still do that to this day.
And that's what I'm saying. He would still do it. Exactly. Yeah, so that was uneventful. But then that night, Mrs. Hanke decided that she wanted to have some with her adopted son.
Nice.
So she was drinking. She drinks red wine with ice.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't like wine anyway, but I would guess I'd probably like it cold better than warm.
Yeah, that's what she was drinking. And I was just drinking beer.
Obviously, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So we were up until probably about two in the morning.
Yeah.
And she's one of those that like probably had five glasses of wine and you still didn't notice. I'm like, these people are the coolest people in the world. And I go out and smoke a cigar, right? And she's like, man, she's like, can I come out with you? I'm like, sure. She's like, I quit smoking like 25 years ago or whatever, but I still like the smell. I'm like, Mrs. Hankey, I'm like, I can't offer you one. I said, I can't be that person that gets you back addicted. She's like, no, I just want to stand in the driveway with you while you have a cigar. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
So good times catching up, it sounds like.
Good times catching up with the family.
Now, there's rumors that you did a ballpark tour as well.
Well, we went out to Lincoln. We went out to tour Lincoln, Nebraska. We went to the University of Nebraska.
Oh, how's that campus?
It's really nice. It's a city campus, which I'm surprised. I thought it would be more rural. Like, yeah. I know Lincoln's the capital, but I thought it might have been like in the rural area. But it's like right in downtown Lincoln, Nebraska.
Huh. Yeah, because I always imagined it to be like its own self-contained campus.
Yeah, that's what I always thought it would be. But I mean, like when you walk into the park, it's like, oh wow, this place is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing great, but it's just the history and...
Right.
You know, we saw it. They have this really, really cool thing. So we're looking at the trophy cases and the national championships and all this stuff. So then right near the weight room, the lady said, do you want to watch the Heisman Trophy movie? She's like, it's about 7 minutes. I'm like, yeah. So we walk in, it's like in this theater, and then the doors close behind you. So Nate's wife goes, does this remind you of Epcot? I'm like, oh my god, totally. She's like, yeah. She's like, I totally feel like I'm at one of those exhibits at Epcot. So they did a they do like a 3 or 4 minute piece on each of the guys.
Yeah.
Or doing the math, maybe 2.5 minutes, but they do Rozier and who was the other one? Tim Couch.
Yeah, Tim Couch.
And then somebody early on.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the 70s. George something, I think his name was. There was Mike Rozier. He was in the 80s.
Let's see. Nebraska Heisman winners. Johnny Rogers.
Okay, Johnny Rogers.
Mike Rozier and Eric Crouch.
That's it, Eric Crouch. So they do like a highlight film. And then right at the end, when the highlight film was done, this panel would turn around and it would have like the name and a picture of the guy with his Heisman Trophy.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really, really cool. I've never seen anything like it.
It's kind of like at the American Adventure.
yeah, right at the end.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
yep.
cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But, I mean, just a huge, huge stadium. And
they do tours all the time? Like, it's just like a...
No, you know what? We weren't able to. They only do them, like, 2 days during the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they have, like, a self-guided tour where, like, they have a gate open that you can walk into, and then you can go look at the trophies and all that stuff.
Well, you couldn't go, like, down on the field or anything.
No, you couldn't go down on the field. Nope.
Take your 7 irons, try to hit them through the uprights.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds good. That's one on the list.
Yep, that's one on the list.
Think it'd be a cool place to watch a game?
Yeah. Well, we agreed. Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen each other since I moved. And I'm like, man, it's life's too short not to see each other for 2.5 years. So he wants to come down in the fall. He and his wife want to get away without the kids because now they have a newborn. She's 10 or 11 months old.
Oh, okay.
So they want to get away, and he wants to come down here. I'm like, you know, it's a cheap vacation. You can fly here. If you want to rent a car, fine. If not, I can pick you up at the airport, but you got a place to stay. And he wants to go to a Gator game. So I'm like, how about every other year I go to Nebraska and you come down here? Because, I mean, I can fly up there, stay with him. He literally lives like 7 miles from the ballpark, and he said that...
Oh, that's nice.
They drive to a high school right near his house, and then they shuttle bus from the high school.
Oh, works out.
So I'm like, yeah, that'll be cool going to a Husker game once a year and you can come to a Gator game and we can actually see each other instead of just texting and messaging on Facebook.
Yeah.
So then the next day was we were going to Kansas City, one of my favorite towns.
How far is that?
It was, like, if you giddy up, it's 2 hours. It took us about 2:20.
That's not too bad, though.
It wasn't too bad, no.
Is it a nice drive or it's just all farm?
It's actually pretty. Like, I like the Midwest, and in Lincoln, Nebraska really felt like the Midwest as opposed to Minneapolis. I don't think Minneapolis, it's more cosmopolitan. It's a trendy. Yeah. And then as you get out into the suburbs, it feels a little Midwest, but you know, Omaha and Lincoln being its two largest cities felt very Midwest.
Right.
And driving out, because you drive out, you go out to, Iowa and then you get on I-29 and then go south.
Oh, really?
Into Missouri and Kansas City. So, yeah, you get a little bit of Iowa and then Missouri. But Missouri is one of the prettiest states I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Just rolling green hills. It's really pretty.
The show me state.
Yep. So that's a couple hours.
Yeah.
And we went to one of my favorite places in the world. And we'll touch on this real quick. Hereford House.
Hereford House. And now, you sent me a link to this website. And you know it's a good steakhouse when the website has wood paneling on it.
Exactly. Susie and I went to George Brett night right after he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. We drove down and went to the Royals game.
Oh, yeah. That.
And we just found this place. We were going downtown, and we said, oh, let's check this out. It looks like an old rustic, you know, your typical, like, built-in inside of, not like a mill, but, you know, what do they build restaurants and stuff into now where they have downtown areas?
Oh, like an older,
like a warehouse, kind of like a warehouse. So we went there, and then years later when we got engaged in Lawrence, we hit it again after a Chiefs game. Nice. And it's one of our favorite places.
And I have the menu up here if you'd like to.
You can run through it real quick.
We can go through this menu. Now, this is like a middle, not a high-end, like a mid-range steakhouse, I would say.
Yeah, you know, it's below a Shula's and Capital Grill, but it's probably better than, I don't know, what I'm trying to think of a... You know, it's better than Twin Oaks.
But it would be it'd be a one credit at Disney World.
Nah, you know what? It might be bordering too, because I got the Kansas City Strip, which is $42.
Yeah, but that's not that bad, though. Okay. Looking at these steak prices, I think it would be... Yeah, because, I mean, a filet mignon's only $40 there.
And you get a side.
Right. So, yeah, this would definitely be a one credit just based on the prices. But the stuff looks pretty fantastic. The appetizers, there's all sorts of good stuff.
I mean, when you walk in and you see guys, you know, drinking a glass of wine and having shrimp cocktail, you know you're at a steakhouse.
That's true. Shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushrooms, artichoke hearts. You don't see that anymore.
No.
Grilled oysters. I don't know about getting the... How's the seafood in Kansas City? Not really.
Yeah, I'm sure it's flown in. I'm sure it's pretty good in a steakhouse, but...
I just wonder if it's more expensive there because it's further away from the ocean.
You know, it's so funny because Monday we had a cookout at my buddy's house, and we went to one of their big Midwest... Hy-Vee, maybe? Hy-Vee?
Like a supermarket?
Yeah, and it's really good. So anyway, so we're going to do burgers and dogs and stuff. So his son goes, hey, Dad, he goes, can we get some swordfish? He goes, I've never had swordfish. He's like, no, we're not going to do fish. We're just going to do, you know, burgers and stuff. So I looked at him. I said, I'll get a piece. So I asked the guy, I said, can I get this piece of swordfish? And he's like, yeah. So we got back. I was asking his mom. His mom had never had swordfish. He had never had swordfish. His wife had never had swordfish.
Hmm.
So I said, all right, we'll do our burgers and stuff, and then a little while I'll grill this up and we can all share it. So I did it like with classic fashion. I sear it and then I wrap it in tin foil and put a little butter.
Right.
And put it on off the heater and just let the butter melt and let it finish cooking. And man, they loved it. They loved
good
it.
Good stuff. Swordfish is good.
Yeah.
It's expensive, isn't it?
No, $7.99.
Oh, really?
$7.99.
Because I remember when you used to get it. What was that fancy place?
Byerly's.
Byerly's. It was like $14.99 a pound, $19.99 a pound.
Mm-hmm. No, it's pretty reasonable.
No, it's not bad.
But anyways, you're right. You want to get steak. And one of the classics that we get, I always get as an appetizer, is the Hereford House steak soup.
Yeah, describe this to me, because it looks like a bowl of absolute mud.
Yeah, you looked at that in the picture. Now, it's kind of like a beef stew. It's got like carrots and celery and onions.
Yeah.
But it's not stew meat. So it's not chewy and fatty. It actually tastes like steak. It's very soft and tender.
Hmm.
And Susie and I always get this when we go there. And the waitress actually tried talking me out of getting a bowl.
Yeah.
She's like, it's really big, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but a cup's five and a bowl's six. I'll pay the extra, dollar.
Yeah, and you're like, I come here once every 5 years.
Yeah.
Minimum. I'm getting a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to talk me out of this.
Yeah, so I got that, and then we both went with the Kansas City Strip, which is one of my favorite cuts. We both got the 16-ounce.
I love that cut, New York Strip. Obviously, in Kansas City, they're going to call it the Kansas City Strip, but that's a great cut.
And you saw that picture. That was a fat boy, wasn't it?
It was gorgeous.
Wasn't that thing pretty?
Yeah.
And it's classic because they almost put it like, your plate is almost like a cutting board. Like, it's metal, so when you're cutting, you just hear, it's beautiful. I got a side of little portobello mushrooms.
Oh, nice. Did you get any of the compliments, like the black pepper and blue cheese or anything like that?
No, I don't like to mess with my steaks if it's a really good cut.
I don't know, but blackened with garlic butter might be a good... That's not really messing with it.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even look at that. I probably should have, huh?
Because you could add it for $3. You could get pepper and blue cheese crumbles. That's classic. Onion and bacon jam. That might overpower it a little, but that sounds pretty good. Dijon mustard and brown sugar glaze. That's too much. blackened with garlic butter. That would be a good way to do it. Or a shallot demi-glaze. That would be good, too. And then you can get the enhancements, like you said, in the side of mushrooms. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
So this would be, though, either. This would be a place that you'd want to go to, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's always been, like, Kansas City and, like, that whole, like, steakhouse / barbecue scene has always intrigued me.
Has intrigued. You think that might be a place you have a visit?
I would visit Kansas City. Go to a Royals game and hit up a couple nice steakhouses and barbecue.
Yeah, I saw the sign for the Negro Baseball Hall of Fame because you said you've always wanted to go to that.
Yeah, that would be really cool to go to as well.
Yeah, but Kauffman, what a great ballpark, man. And I haven't been there since they renovated it. God, it is a great ballpark.
That's one they did right because there was a while in the 80s where they were messing those things up big time.
Yeah, well, that was actually built in the 70s.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 71 or 73. That wasn't your cookie cutter.
Because for a while, they were doing all the domes with the AstroTurf. All the National League parks had, like, the lousy right. AstroTurf. And, you know, you had, like, the Houston Astrodome. And then a lot of them were just, like you said, just cookie cutter, nothing about them. But that always had, like, the fountains out in center field.
And they redid the fountains, and they're actually, they're better than what they were. I mean, it's really? A really, really nice ballpark. And the sports complex, I think it's like the Truman Sports Complex. I mean, it's really cool because they have so much parking. And it's probably a good, like, 10 minutes outside of downtown Kansas City, so there's a ton of land.
Yeah.
But you got, you know, you got Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium right next to each other, so there's plenty of parking, you know, for for the Chiefs and the Royals, and I'm sure that they don't play on the same Sunday, obviously, because you wouldn't be able to fit the cars. But, I mean, it's easy in, easy out. You get right on the I-70 when you leave the ballpark, so it's really nice.
That's good. Anything else of note on the trip?
That's about it. No, it was good seeing my friend. Good hanging out, going to a Royals game, eating dinner at Hereford House.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Hereford House and the Royals. Now, how far was this joint from the stadium, the Hereford House?
Well, they got a few. They got probably 7 or 8. So we stopped at one just north of Kansas City because I said, well, we're going to eat anyways. Why don't we stop? Why don't you look for the closest one? He's like, oh, there's one 4 miles from here. I'm like, why don't we hit this? Because it was 5:30.
Oh, okay,
I'm like, that way there, you know, we can bypass Kansas City traffic.
There you go.
So, yeah, they're all over the place.
Beautiful. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's all I got right now, Bill. Little right. Omaha trip review on our Walt Disney World podcast.
Hey, you said that the Heisman thing was like Epcot, so we made it all come together.
We did. We did bring it together.
And we also said Hereford House might be a single credit. So we brought it all in. That's good. Why don't you, I guess we could take a break then if you got anything
on the control. Let's go to break. Break. This is episode 169 of the Fourth World Podcast. Did a trip review of beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska.
Started a little shaky, but sounds like once you got 2 feet on solid ground, you had a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a great
time. Now, what were your connectors getting home? Because you didn't talk about, there was uneventful flights coming home, I suppose, because you didn't really mention
it. You know, it was funny because I was going from Omaha to Chicago Midway.
Oh, okay.
And, sure as hell, he tells the stewardess to sit down because it was going to be a little bumpy.
Oh.
So it was pretty bumpy, and we're coming from the west, so we flew over downtown Chicago, Lake Michigan, and then just turned right around over the lake and came right back. And it was pretty cool. I got that little flight video that I'm going to upload. We flew over Comiskey Park or whatever they call that now.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called now.
No, I don't know either, but I know what you're talking about. U.S. Cellular Field?
I think it's U.S. Cellular Field. So I had about, probably a good two and a half hour layover in Chicago. So that's when I went into the media room and I plugged in my phone.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, for poops and giggles, let me search and see if there was any news on this flight. Because I think, you know, I'm thinking this stuff happens, you know, probably 30 times a day. So all of a sudden I see like all these media outlets in Tampa Bay like talking about this flight. And I said, oh, this was a little more serious than what they originally said. They never said anything about engine failure. They just said that there was some electrical problems.
Right. I imagine it's not something that happens that often, like an emergency landing on a big commercial flight like that.
No, because I'm thinking, you know, it happens every day or a few times a day. But I asked one of my friends who up in Minneapolis who flew for Northwest and Delta. And she's like, no, this stuff doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like something that would happen a lot.
But... Right.
So you flew to Chicago and then...
And then I flew right down to Tampa.
Oh, so that's not bad on the way back.
No, what a beautiful flight coming in. We come right over the Gulf of Mexico, yeah. And you could kind of see the indentations of the panhandle like you would on a map.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I could tell, okay, this is Panama City, okay, this is XYZ. And it was pretty bumpy coming in because they didn't really have thunderstorms, but man, they had those clouds that went up probably 40,000 feet, those big, big, big white poofy clouds.
Yeah.
So no events coming back, but it's nice only having to connect once.
Yeah,
instead of seven times.
Yeah, that's good at least that you had an easier route back.
Yeah,
home.
Yep.
Now Midway's not the greatest airport. I had a layover there once, and it's like you expect because I always think Chicago big airport, but that's O'Hare is the big one, right?
Yeah, I think Midway is the one that just kind of does Southwest and some of their smaller,
right?
No frills. I mean, it was pretty big because I had to go from like. You know, Terminal B to Terminal C, and it was a good walk.
Was it? Because when we came back from Disneyland, we had a layover there on a Southwest flight from John Wayne to Midway.
Yep. Yeah, I've flown out of John Wayne,
and we had trouble finding
John Wayne Airport is in Orange County, California. For those of you who are interested,
okay, it's also ahead. One of the shortest runways. That's the one where you have to like they take off and they just.
You go
get
up
a
like
lot
the
of
space
altitude
shuttle.
Quick. Yeah,
yeah. Because I think they have noise restrictions in those neighborhoods. I think that's
something
the
like that. Yeah.
Reason. Yeah. So, anyways, you're at Midway,
and we barely could find a place to eat. Like we had a long layover, so we were gonna have dinner, and there was only like a sandwich joint.
Yeah,
it wasn't
you know
even
what?
Like,
there's not
wasn't
many
even like a restaurant.
Options,
like I expected a TGI Fridays or something, but nothing. I was very disappointed in that airport.
Yeah, it's not very good, because I was thinking when I went up, they call it, when I was leaving Atlanta, they call it Baltimore, Washington, they call it BWI.
Yeah, BWI.
Like, I like that, but
yeah.
Man, they had some unbelievable restaurant options up in Baltimore.
Oh, really?
Lot of nice sit-downs. I ended up going to like a Potbelly, or I just wanted something quick, because I wanted to sit down and relax and not have to be waited on, so I got Potbelly. But man, they had a lot of nice little sit-down restaurants. I was looking at the menus. And the thing was, that wasn't one of my original connections, so I had like a good
I had
2.5 hour layover up there. So,
oh yeah, yeah, that's it. I don't have any other questions. Sounds like it was a good week.
Mm-hmm. Good week. I'm such a nerd going to the Midwest on vacation, but
I got
ties up there.
Yeah, you had ties out there, and you went to a wedding. I mean, it's a little different than just saying, "All right, I'm going to go to Nebraska for 6 days and to get a hotel room."
And it's so funny because I'm like, I don't know how people do this.
What, live there?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's nice at some times of the year. But like the Midwest is like the weather isn't great, but at least when you're in New England, you're close to a lot of things.
Yes, that's the thing. Like Minneapolis, St. Paul was cold, but I could go to a Twins game and I could go to a Wolves game and I could do things. But I'm like, okay, this place is like, it's like Warwick, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
But then there's nothing else there. You know what I mean?
Right. Warwick,
it's like
Warwick-Cranston's
a nice
Boston.
Area to live in. But yeah. If that's all you had, you're probably not going to want to live in Warwick-Cranston.
Right. Yeah, because you're not 40 minutes from Boston in Lincoln, Nebraska.
And I think what it is it's a great place to live.
I'm sure it is, yeah.
And that's what it is. They got good schools. They got good neighborhoods. It's a good place to live.
Right.
But I'm like, at this point in my life with no kids, it's like, I need Disney in my backyard. I need the beach in my backyard.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. People, different reasons, obviously.
Exactly, yep.
All right, Bill, bring us home.
All right, you want to do our social media? You can find us on Facebook, Twitter.
You do it. Yeah.
You want me to do it? Yeah, find us on Facebook, Pour for War Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Pour for War Podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You can email the show, info@pourforwarpodcast.com. You can email me personally, Mike at email.com. Mike@pourforwarpodcast.com. did I forget anything, Mr. Clinton, other than your email address?
YouTube.com/pourforwarpodcast, where there will be a cooking class for May. I'm not going to shirk my responsibility.
I'm hoping it's going to be something good for breakfast, where I can just put my tablet up and get to work.
The problem with breakfast is that this weekend I'm not going to be at home base. So maybe I can record one in
New Hampshire. Yeah, you do it in New Hampshire.
But I'm going to have the whole family there, so it's going to be like super nerdy with the in-laws there doing the cooking class.
Ah, but now you got somebody to watch the kids. Maybe Mr. Denoya can do the audio visual.
Oh, have a
now you don't have to hold the stuff in one hand with the baby in the other. I think this might be your best one, actually.
A full crew.
Because usually you're shorthanded and you got Eugenia Jr., you know, adding the spices, and you got original Eugenia doing
right.
the staring.
She's got a heavy hand with the cayenne pepper.
Yes. She likes her thing spicy.
She does, it's true. Yeah. We'll see. I'll look into it, certainly. But there'll be one. I'll get one up before the end of it.
Ah, beautiful.
All right. Yeah, you can email me, Gary@pourforwarpodcast.com as well.
All right. That's all I got. Thanks for listening to episode 169 of the Pour for War Montengase Alejandro Nilas podcast. For Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, I'm Mike down in Tampa, St. Petersburg, and we'll talk to you next week.
Has been chilled and you just can't stop these guys. balls all around us. Hosmer says let's win it all. Saudi's knocking ribbies. Kane's gonna smash the ball.
Bye.